We thank you for this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you because we have come into to the foot of the cross to hear you speak to us this morning. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will do his work in our midst this morning, speaking to our hearts and enlightening us in the word, in Jesus' name. Our Lord and our God, after we've had the word today, Lord, none of our lives will be the same again in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because the Bible says the entrance of your word, it giveth light, it gives understanding even unto the simple. In simplicity we have come. Give us understanding this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. For some time now, we've been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the different aspects of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We told us about the three main groups of these gifts. We talked about the revelational gifts. We also talk about the vocal gifts. We talked about and we are currently talking about the power gifts. In the power gifts, we've got the gift of faith, and we said, as Jesus has spoken to us, that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And if we don't doubt, that will happen. And we said, what is power? Power is the ability to get work done. So in other words, faith can do work. So if we believe and we speak and make confession, it will happen as we have said it. And we have said that Christianity without faith is as good as going to a clubhouse. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, if our Christianity will be based on our understanding, human reasoning, and wisdom, without faith is as good as us going to start a clubhouse or something like that where we meet and just have fun. Because once you remove faith from Christianity, it is devoid of the power of God. Praise the Lord. So it's an essential gift if we are going to be effective ministers of the gospel. We also talked about the gifts of healing. That was last week. And we said, thank God for the many medical advancements. As good as they are, we still talk about percentage of people in whom these treatments are effective. That's why the same treatment does not necessarily work for everyone. And we will still have people who would try most treatments and nothing seemed to work for them. Not only that, we talked about the fact that the medical world is talking about post-antibiotic era because a lot of the bugs that we know, many of them are developing resistance to antibiotics. Even viruses are developing resistance to antiviral agents. That's why you use what we call combination therapy. You don't use just one agent. In Africa, malaria parasite is developing resistance to anti-malaria. And we are saying that even in this dispensation, that the healing power of God is as relevant as it used to be. Because God can make your case to be different. Praise the Lord. When the healing power of God is in operation, your situation can be different. Remember, not necessarily everyone that goes to the doctor do get better or do get well. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at the working of miracles. The working of miracles. Let's quickly read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12. Praise the Lord. This is a text we've read several times. I mean, basically God is telling us that these gifts have come that we might profit as children of the living God. And another reason why the gift is being given is taken from our memory verse, which is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. It's in your bulletin. We can all read together. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12, it says, let's go. So it is with yourselves, since you are eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestation of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that will build up the church. Praise the Lord. So when we have these gifts, the gifts are meant to build up the church. But there is an underlying assumption there at the beginning of that particular verse. It says, so it is with yourself, since you are eager and ambitious to possess spiritual gifts. Eager and ambitious to possess them. In other words, it should be the desire of every child of God to be able to operate in these gifts. Not only do we desire to operate in this gift, we want to be able to do something in the kingdom. When we talk about the church, we are not just talking about those of us who are gathered here this morning. We are talking about the church of Christ all over. And when we start to operate in these gifts, you will see changes will start to occur. When people bring their sick to you and you pray for them and they are healed, you won't have to do much to convince them to follow you to church. On Easter Day, it was meant to be an impartation service, and I called and I said, as many people as want to be imparted upon these gifts to come out, no one came out. No one. And the Bible is saying there's an underlying assumption here that we would desire to have this. And we want to be effective Christians. There's no way we can be effective Christians without these gifts.
If God thought we could be effective Christians without this gift, he wouldn't have given them to, there would be no need for them at all. It is because God knows that if we are going to be effective, we need these gifts in our lives. We need to operate these gifts, because the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in what? In the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. We cannot demonstrate the Spirit and the power of God. That's why we talk. You know, people go to church and they hear sermons upon sermons upon sermons and nothing changes. Let's go back to the book of the Acts of the Apostles and read. You find out that the conversion experience of a lot of people, the adding to the church, the growth of the church, was often as a result of the demonstration of the power of God. When God has done something, he made a move, and the Bible will say that, you know, everyone was filled with the fear of God. When they saw the glory of God, when they saw the power of God being made manifest, a lot of people just come in and they want to be part of what God is doing. And I'm sure many of us have had experiences before. We've been in crusades, we've been gathering of the children of God, we've seen people healed. And when you make altar call, what happens? People come out. But the children of God are no longer even desiring to manifest these gifts. I want to encourage you this morning that it should be, the manifestation of the power of God should be part of our life desires and aspirations. Because you are not made of a royal priesthood for nothing. You are not a chosen race for nothing. You are not a peculiar people for nothing. The Bible said, so that you may show forth the praise of him who has called you. But if you don't have the power of God being demonstrated, being made manifest in your life, how can you show forth his praise? One of the prayer points we prayed this morning is that as we hear the word of God this morning, it will be looked at from a personal level, not at a collective level. Every one of us here will see it as a call to duty individually. God calls people individually. I know we like teamwork. It's good to have teamwork. But let me tell you something. The gifts that God has given you, the call of God upon your life, you will have to account for it as individual. It's never at a collective level. Praise the Lord. So the working of miracles. I know some people will say, oh, the time of miracle has passed. It has not passed. The miracle of God is still being made manifest in the lives of people who depend upon him. If you and I will depend upon him, God will make us extensions of his hands, extensions of his voice, extensions of his mind to do things that people think are impossible. And it's so interesting that I know many of us say, oh, look, if only I was there when the Red Sea was parted. If only I was there when Jesus raised the dead. But do you know that there were a lot of people who were there then who didn't believe? They saw it, but they had alternative explanations for what was happening. And what I want to tell you this morning is that, what about the miracles that God is doing daily today in the midst of his people? People come out and they give testimonies. Do you take it seriously enough? Is that enough to convince you? God is still in the business of doing miracles. Let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Hebrews 2, 3 to 4. came. He said, how shall we escape appropriate retribution if we neglect and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation as is now offered to us, letting it drift past us forever? For it was declared at first by the Lord himself, and it was confirmed to us and proved to be real and genuine by those who personally heard him speak. Besides this evidence, it was also established and plainly endorsed by God, who showed his approval of it by signs and wonders. So God showed signs, shows approval of what we do, of our ministries, by what? Signs and by wonders. It is something, and that's why in Acts chapter 6, in Mark chapter 16, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So God will approve of us by allowing the demonstration of these signs and of wonders wherever the children of God are gathered. I've told us, without faith, there's no point coming together. If we remove faith out of it, then our gathering is just as good as people who want to encourage themselves and just hear some motivational speeches. Praise the Lord. That's not what our gathering will be this morning in Jesus' name. The power in the word of God will touch our individual lives in Jesus' name. He says, and wonders and various miraculous manifestations of his power, and by imparting the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the believers according to his own will. So there can be impartation. There can be impartation that will change your life forever. Why do we need the miraculous? I've told you that, look, I've said it before, if you choose not to live in the realm of the miraculous for your own good, live in the realm of the miraculous for the good of other people. You know why? One, it becomes a source of encouragement to the church. It becomes a source of encouragement to people. It's going to relieve their sufferings. And apart from that, it's going to expand the kingdom of God. Because when people see what God is doing in your life, they will give glory to God. Because some of us will say, oh, I'm self-sufficient. You see, I don't really need, you know, it's an old story. But do it for the kingdom. In case you are so self-sufficient, you don't need anything, do it for the kingdom. It should be our passion. Many of the things that are our passion today, they are misplacement of priorities. They are good, but there are things that should take precedence over them. God will help us in Jesus' name. He will give us the grace that we need. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12 to 24, there's the story of Gideon there. One of the things that motivated Gideon was to see the demonstration of the power of God that he was told. Because he questioned God. He said, God, where are the miracles? Where are the things that our fathers told us that you did in their midst? How many of us have that passion today to say, Lord, where are the miracles? Use me. Here I am. Use me. I want to see your kingdom come wherever I am. I want to see you be in authority. I want to see you rule. I want to see you reign. And I'm telling you, the reason a lot of people won't go to church is because the church hasn't got something different to offer. Until the church has something different. You see, the church is working hard to be like the world. We are working hard not to be different. We say, no, we don't want people to see us as different. We are working hard to be like them. Then why would they come to church? But if we are working hard to please God and have his grace, you know, manifest in our lives and the power shown, people will come to church. Because solution will be in the church for them. Praise the Lord. So we must be cognizant of the fact that sometimes the agent of darkness may present as agent of light. And this is why a lot of people want to speak evil of the church. You know, people who take advantage of these gifts and, you know, and they say, oh yeah, we know. It's very easy for people to say, oh, I know of one pastor who did this. I know one church where they did this. I know of that, you know. And they miss the main point. There is nothing that is happening now that is new, that has not happened before. Even in the time of the apostles, you go and read Acts 19 and 20. Paul was warning the elders in Ephesus, and he told them, he said, and some people will come in, there will be two categories of people who will come into the church, the wolves and the people who are of your own too, who will come in, but they are not doing this work for God. So we cannot, because of the things we see around that we don't like, deny the power of God. We cannot, because of the things we see happening around, not desire to see the power of God made manifest in our midst. We cannot, because of the things that we see that we don't like, you know, not encourage people to come and taste that and see that the Lord is good. The world will see that the Lord is good through you this morning in Jesus' name. One thing I often say to people who would, on the basis of such things, is that, look, it may be you that God wants to use to actually show what it is like to be a faithful servant. You will not miss the call of God upon your life today in Jesus' name. The working of miracles, we have to desire. We have to desire to have these gifts made manifest in our lives. So, if we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, signs and wonders will automatically follow, like I've said. And that is what convinced the skeptics. We are not magicians. We are not going out there to say, look, we just want to demonstrate signs so people can believe. No. In fact, when people made requests and asked Jesus to show them a sign, he said, I'm not going to show you any signs. But you remember, everywhere Jesus went and he preached the kingdom, what happened? Signs and wonders just automatically follows. If we would do the same thing, going out, preaching the kingdom, the time is at hand. I'm telling you, we don't really have time. It's really at hand. You know, after church on Sunday, last week, we went to see a man of God and had some time with him. I mean, we know he had been unwell for some time. You know, at the end of our meeting with him, he prayed with us and for us, and we all left. And by Wednesday morning, he was gone. You know, we don't have the time. We don't have the time. Because the message of the king, the work of the king is what? It's urgent. We don't have the luxury of time. So, and I pray that as many as have heard this word this morning, that God will have his way in your life in Jesus' name. Do we have any questions? Any contributions we want to make? It's a Sunday school. Questions, contributions before we pray. Okay. Please, let's rise up on our feet and let's pray. There is a song that is sung in my native dialect. So I'm not going to sing that song, but I'm just going to tell you what it says. It says, I am the one that you should use for your glory, O Lord. Do not allow stones or the rock to replace me. I am the one to use for your glory, Lord. Do not allow the rock to replace me. So I want you to pray that prayer this morning, even as you have heard the word of God. Remember, it's a very personal message to you from the Lord this morning. It is not to your neighbor. It's not to the next person to you. It's to you this morning. The word of God is for you this morning. It's not to your next door neighbor. It's not to any the brother or the sister sitting next to you. The word of God is for you this morning. That God will use you for his glory. That God will use you for his glory. He will use you as an extension of his hand, as an extension of his voice. He will use you as an extension of his mind to speak the truth of the word, to demonstrate the power of the living God, even in this dispensation. Ask that you'll be the one that God will use this morning. Ask that you'll be the one that God will use in your church. Ask that you'll be the one that God will use in your neighborhood. Ask that you'll be the one that God will use wherever you find yourself in your place of work. That the power of God will ooze out of you wherever you are in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you this morning. We thank you for your presence here. Lord Jesus, it's enough of talking, enough of speaking. We want to see your power made manifest in every life here in the mighty name of Jesus. Even as we make ourselves ready and available, O Lord, use us, O Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. If you don't have use for your word, you wouldn't have sent your word out. Because the Bible says, not an outer of your word will go out without accomplishing the purpose for which you have sent them forth. I pray that your word will accomplish much in every life here this morning in Jesus' name. This word is able to change us. This word is able to transform our lives. As many as have heard me this morning, I pray for that transformation that will make them instruments in your hands in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Amen.